I'm thankful for the fact that I can get up after I sit down there, because every time I do that, I think, is this going to be my last time I'm here that I'm going to be able to stand up? You know, it's just like somebody's going to have to help me get pulled up here. When I was a kid, one of the things that we loved to do is always play football or baseball, depending upon the time of the year, in our backyards. Now, I wasn't the most athletic individual, but we'd love to play. And we'd play baseball every day during the summer. Every day we'd be out there, we'd be playing. And the same thing with football. On the weekends, we'd go out, we'd play in somebody's backyard or in a field, and it didn't matter what was in the field, we just played. And the thing was, we didn't play touch football, we didn't play flag football, we played tackle. Because we liked to get dirty. And I mean, our parents would wonder, what in the world were you doing? You'd come back and we'd just be covered in mud and it'd be caked on our faces and we'd be, you know, the only thing you could see is this big smile on our face when we get back home. Well, there was one particular game that I want to talk about, and it involved my brother. Now, if any of you have ever watched The Wonder Years and the relationship between Kevin and Wayne, that's my brother and I, okay? And I love my brother dearly, but when I was a little kid, I know I bothered and annoyed the heck out of him, and he took every opportunity to annoy me. And he decided he was going to join my friends as we were playing football. Now, I'm about 10, and he's 17, okay? So we're playing football, and we're having a great time, and of course, my brother's goading me through the whole game, trying to get me to mess up and everything, and the game was close. And the only way we would stop was when it got dark, because at that point, then parents would be calling us to come home and all this stuff, and our time to eat. And it was getting dark, so we decided this was the last play of the game. It had been raining earlier that day, so the field that we were in was just, it was slick with mud. I mean, and of course, we were tramping it back and forth, and I mean, it's just kicking it up wherever we're going. And I got to explain to you that one of my friends looked like a barrel on toothpicks. His name was Harold, and he was a big guy, you know. So when you got hit by Harold, you know you got tackled. And I just remember somehow I got the ball. I just remember this. I don't remember whether it was a pass or whatever. And I'm running, and I'm taking off. And Harold, believe it or not, is slower than me. So I was able to run around him, and I'm taking off. And everybody else is back far behind me. I know I'm going to be able to make it down to the end of the yard. I'm going to score a touchdown, and we're going to win the game. And I'm running, and I'm taking off. And the next thing you know, slide. And my feet just went out from under me, and I landed on my backside. And somehow ended up in a contorted position of somehow being on my side and my backside, and I couldn't get up. I'm trying to get up because it's so doggone slippery, I can't get up. The more I struggle, the more the mud kind of sucks me in, and then I can hear back behind me, ha, 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 it's my brother. Ha, 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 ha. And I know he's coming after me, and he's just taking great joy to see his little brother is just struggling in that mud, and he can't get up, and he's trying so hard, and I can't do it. And finally, I feel these hands on my shoulders and says, "You're down. Game over. Come on, guys. Let's go." I was so mad. But you know what? That's life. And there are days that we feel like we are stuck in that mud, and we can't get out. And the more we try it, the more difficult it is, and there are those that might be in our lives that are goading us or may even make us angry. And then there are those that don't even see what's going on in our lives. Today we have two stories about leprosy. Leprosy is a terrible disease, but in the Old Testament and New Testament times, they would label any kind of skin disease as leprosy. And when you had leprosy, you were considered unclean, and therefore you weren't allowed to stay in your home. You couldn't have any relationship with your spouse or your family. You couldn't work. You couldn't go to the temple. Or you couldn't go to the synagogue. You couldn't go to the market. And so basically, and it was by law, that you were separated from the rest of the community in order to keep the rest of the community free from this disease that they didn't know how to control. So we have this mighty king, Naaman, in the Old Testament, and then we have these 10 lepers who call to Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, Naaman is a proud commander, and his king really looks to him. It's really the right-hand guy. And he knows when he has a great leader, So he hears that Naaman has leprosy, and of course there's great fear as to the fact that he's going to have to step down and face all these consequences. And so he is mourning the possible loss of his leader, and eventually he writes a letter to the king of Israel when he finds out that there's a prophet that can do healing. And he says to the king of Israel, "I'm sending my best man to you. I want you to heal him." Now, the king has enough worries about everything else going on so that when he hears this news that he's sending this commander, he's thinking that this king is going to pick a fight with him because he can't heal him. And he gets so upset about it without thinking about what resources that he has available to him that he tears his clothes in grief. And he says, "Why is he picking on me?" And so it's all about the king of Israel for a few moments. And then Elisha steps up and says, "Just send him to me." And so the king does that. And Naaman comes with all his entourage and all his chariots and horses. And I'm sure he has these lavish gifts that he's going to give to Elijah because he's expecting to be healed. And he goes to his place and they're all there assembled and waiting for Elijah to show up. And you know what? He doesn't show up. He sends out a messenger. He says, "Just go wash yourself down in the Jordan." Well, that infuriates him because here he is, a proud man, a man who has conquered many places and a man who has gathered up much wealth in his life. And for somebody to treat him like he was just some kind of a servant, "Just go wash in the Jordan." And he begins to get really pumped up about this and he gets angry and talks about comparison. You know, the Jordan's this muddy little creek. He says, "Aren't these other rivers much better than that? I mean, it's like, wouldn't the Rogue River be much better than the Grand River? What's going on here?" Until his servants have enough courage to say, "Look, if you expected him to do great things, you would have done it. But if he's telling you to do that, just go do it." So for Naaman, his pride, his blindness to his pride almost cost him his life. And suddenly his heart was open to hearing that message, and he went down and he did exactly what Elijah said, and he finds that he's healed, and he goes back and he gives praise and thanks to the God of Israel, to Elijah's God. The same thing happens with the story of the 10 lepers with Jesus. We kind of get sidetracked with that because we hear Jesus saying, "What happened to the other 9? And we're kind of like, "Oh, they're ungrateful." You know, if that was you or me, and we were in a situation like that, it would be very easy to get caught up in the moment because the first thing that I would want to do is I'd want to run home and I'd want to say, you know, "Look, I'm clean, I can be with you," before even thinking about saying thanks. That's just human. All the things that would be rushing to me, not to make excuses for them, but, you know, before we start pointing fingers, but that's not the point. The point is that Jesus, as he is walking down the road, is confronted by these 10 individuals who cry out and say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And the scripture says that he saw them. He saw them. In those days, when people had sickness and illness, when they were considered outsiders, people didn't even look at them. They walked the other way. They turned their heads. All of us have encountered those moments when somebody didn't want to see us and turn their heads. It doesn't make you feel very good. And these lepers knew exactly what it felt like to be ignored. But it says Jesus saw them. And Jesus, seeing them, has compassion and says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And they do that. And the next thing it says, when he saw that he was healed, the one, when he saw, it was more than just seeing that he was healed. He was able to see in his sickness the fact that the one who provided that what he needed was Jesus. His eyes were open. The others weren't. And he went running back and he gave thanks to God. And he celebrated. Now I want to suggest to you that in all the things that go on in our world, everything, we come with burdens. Some of us carry a lot heavier load than others, but we all have different things that we try to shake ourselves free. Paul, speaking to Timothy, is caught up. He is imprisoned. He is shackled. And yet he says to Timothy, as he proclaims to him and encourages him, this young pastor in Christ, this one whom Paul has taken under his wing, and saying that, you know, not to be afraid, not to be fearful. Don't worry about the words. Just know that the Spirit is with you, and that the gospel which you proclaim is unchained. Even though Paul is imprisoned, the word is not. And that's the wonderful thing that we need to hear today. Because we're imprisoned to so many different things. We're imprisoned to our own pride. We're imprisoned to trying to make ourselves noticed of others. You know, I don't know how often in my lifetime that I've encountered students and adults, people who have carried these burdens their whole life, where they're trying to prove something. They're trying to make their parents notice them and receive approval, even though their parents have long died. And they're still trying to work that out. How terrible to be chained to that understanding. How terrible to be chained to abuse, to those who have endured that in their lifetime. How terrible that there are those who have been ignored and looked beyond when they really wanted to be, you know, I'm here. All of us have those afflictions. And what I want to suggest to you today is that even though I'm not going to say that you're going to be able to walk away from here free from all this stuff that just collects in our lives, but what I can say is that God's opening your eyes. God has given you the idea and the understanding that there's a burden lifted from our shoulders from the moment that we walk into this place. His forgiveness is granted you. And even though there are still those things that may hurt and pain us, we're told time and again how much God loves us and embraces us. And we're told each time we gather around the table that God extends himself to us and that he sets us free. I will never be perfect. You will never be perfect. There are things that I wish I could do better than I can. There are times that there are things that I don't succeed at which I wish I could. And yet I know, in spite of all my failings, God still embraces me for who I am. Because he's made me, just as he's made each of you. And each of you, even though we're not worthy, God says, come on, I'll take care of you. And even though we carry sickness, cancer, we carry those abuse situations, we carry anger and hurt and pain in our hearts, we can learn how to let those things no longer distract us. We can learn to see just as this man who saw, because even though he was healed, he still had other issues that he would have to deal with. His life was far from perfect, but he was able to see the one who could give him healing whenever he turned to him, and that was Jesus. So today I invite you into a relationship with the unchained word, a word that will never be held down, the word that the devil will never be able to keep from you, the word that will always set you free, and that word is Jesus. And so today, be free. Be free. Hear how God has set you free and has given you sight to see the one who has made you whole. Amen.